Ryan Rashog from TSN. How you doing?
I'm good. Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yeah.
How's my technology working today?
Well, it's pretty. It seems a little loud. You're coming in a little hot, right? Like, you don't have to eat the phone, but other than that, yeah, it's good.
Yeah.
I'll back off.
Take her back to about here.
That's better. Yes. Much better. Much better. Edmonton Oilers, speaking of hot, that's what they are right now. I did dig up some statistics that interested me regarding the special teams on the Oilers on both shots on the power play and then shots allowed on the penalty kill. And both of them are too low in the case of shots for and way too high on the penalty kill on shots against. Let's start there. What have you seen on their penalty kill where they can improve to limit the amount of shots they're giving up? They're not giving up any goals, but on average, you're not going to maintain a 945 save percentage on your penalty kill.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I mean, anytime you're letting a lot of shots through on a penalty kill, I think shooting lanes is maybe a little bit of an issue where they need to examine if the players are taking the most direct route into the shooting lane versus towards the player, the body. So that's maybe an area where they can try and tidy things up a little bit. Face-offs is also another one. If you're losing face-offs and how often that results in shots on net, I know that's an analytic that they, an advanced stat that they keep track of themselves. I don't know what the numbers are, but just how often a lost face-off results in a shot on net against. So, I mean, shooting lanes and face-offs are two pretty critical ones when it comes to preventing shots when you're shorthanded. As for getting more shots, I mean, I think the stat that you talked about yesterday has a lot to do with it. The guy who has the puck more than anybody else on the power play and spends more time than anybody else on the power play needs to shoot it more in Connor McDavid. And I think he sort of sounds like he understands that too. So look for him to maybe let it go a few times on the power play in tonight's game. And I know one of the things Todd loves with his power play is he loves it when they get a shot early. And he had a stat when he arrived last year. I can't remember what it was, but just about the number of times of how much more likely a power play is to be successful and score if they get a shot in the first 10 seconds of the man advantage. And so I know that's a big focus for him, and maybe they need to focus on that a little bit more as well.
And on the man advantage, just at times be a little bit more selfish and just shoot the puck.
Well, yeah, that's just it, right? I mean, the guys, they're trying to set each other up and they're trying to score. The intention is good, but yeah, every once in a while, you got to just let it go. I mean, look at Milan Lucic's goal standing in front of the net, and there's no reason you can't do that on the power play, have a body there, good hand-eye coordination. If you can get good body position, I mean, those are good quality goals to score. They're not the prettiest, but they work. And so rather than trying to dust it off and deke the goalie into the corner, just let it rip sometimes. It'll keep everybody honest, right? If you're a shooting threat, then you keep everybody honest. You keep a goalie a little bit on his heels. He's not as confident pushing side to side. He won't get there as quickly if he legitimately thought you were going to take a shot. Yeah, it's just a really good policy to be considered a shooting threat and not just a dishing threat. And I mean, Connor is a shooting threat. He's got a good shot. He's got a quick snapshot. It's hard. And it'll be interesting to see if he uses it a little bit more here in the next few games.
Yeah, I'm guessing we'll definitely see him firing a little bit more on the man advantage. It's very rare, Ryan, in the last, decade, but definitely in recent memory, where you head into a game and you think, like the Edmonton Oilers, this is a game they should dominate. The Vancouver Canucks defense isn't very good, especially with the injury to Tanev. They don't have any scoring depth. They've only got 14 goals through seven games. They don't have a ton of speed, and they're not big as the Oilers. Like, everything says, wow, the Oilers are the better team. And in this case, I would think by a significant margin. Like, it's been so long, it feels kind of odd to say that.
Yeah, it is odd to be consistently saying that the Oilers should have a chance or be able to win this game. I mean, especially against the Canucks. Like the Canucks, I mean, it's not like they're a powerhouse, but for whatever reason, the Sedins have always played well against the Oilers and always given them fits. But the way the Oilers are rolling, they should be able to get by the Canucks tonight. They've got more scoring depth. I mean, the Oilers' blue line isn't spectacular, but I do think it is better than what Vancouver has. I'm interested to see this Stetcher play too a little bit more, by the way. I know the Oilers were in on trying to get him, and it'll be interesting to see how he's a power play defenseman and has a little bit of offense to his game. So he'll be around for a little while. It'll be nice to get a firsthand look at him tonight for an entire game. But you're right. The Oilers should be able to handle this team. They're a deeper team, and the way they're playing right now, Vancouver shouldn't be the hiccup. Now, Buffalo shouldn't have been the hiccup either, but the Oilers seem to have learned some lessons since then.
Ryan Rashog from TSN joins us. Oilers take it on the Vancouver Canucks tonight. The Eskimos taking on the Hamilton Tiger Cats in an interesting game for those two. We'll get to that a little bit later on. But, Shar, going back to the Oilers, and, you know, I think they've shown now in four games that, you know, they're not just going to take their foot off the gas. They play kind of an emotional game against St. Louis, and then they go to the outdoor game, and then they come back, and you're thinking, oh, geez, maybe there's a letdown. And I didn't think they really let down in any area, maybe other than the first 7 minutes of the second period. For the most part, they were right nose-to-nose with the Capitals. And I thought, Ryan, really, for against the big team, the Oilers were the ones who I thought kind of calmed down the Washington Capitals.
Yeah, no, I think so too. But I mean, they didn't roll over for them either. I mean, they I think they threw the bulk of the hits in that game. They were the more physical team, I think, of the two of them. I like the fact that they were banging Ovechkin every chance they got. Guys were putting bodies on him. Yeah, they were like, and so where does that come from, right? Where does that ability come from to push back and to, you need to have game breakers, right? You need to have guys who, when the moment calls for it, can go out there and deliver on that big shift or deliver on that momentum changing shift or make that one play. And I mean, the Oilers very clearly, and they've relied on them a number of times to shift the momentum in games. They have as good a game breaker as anybody in McDavid. So he doesn't necessarily, he's not going to light it up every single night like he did against the Flames early this season. He's not going to have dazzling rush after dazzling rush. Defensemen are going to play him hard, but what he is showing the ability to do is be patient and then pounce on whatever little bits of opportunity they give him. And so he's opportunistic and he has the ability to be a game breaker. So whatever situation they're in, whether it's nursing a 2-goal lead and they've just given one up, whether it's down a goal or two, they've got a guy that can be a game breaker. And that is just so massive because at any point in time, he can deliver the shift that you need.
You mentioned Stetcher and you want to see him. He's paired with Edler. They've got Hutton and Gabranson. And I know they like the kid, but it might be too much to ask of him if they put him out against McDavid, because Edler would seem like the obvious guy to go up against McDavid, but they might have to do Hutton and Gabranson.
Yeah, I would expect it would be Hutton and Gabranson. Like, for a bigger guy, Gabranson gets around not too bad. Hutton obviously is very mobile as well. They'll have to be careful with that matchup. Connor will definitely be able to expose Ben Hutton. I watched those two practice against each other pretty much every day at the World Championship. And that's definitely a defenseman Connor can expose. Hutton's a little bit of a riverboat gambler at times. But Gudbranson is more of a stay-at-home guy that's bigger, physical. I would be surprised if they let Stetcher go toe-to-toe with that number one line. And I think that it opens up a little bit of an opportunity for Nugent Hopkins, because Edler's a good defenseman. But again, Stetcher is an inexperienced player. And if that's the matchup that Pouliot and Nugent Hopkins get a lot of tonight, then you'd think they'd be able to take a little bit of advantage of that. And Lucas Savisa is a decent defenseman. He's a third pairing guy, but I think we've seen Philip Larson here in Edmonton and understand he's a borderline NHL player. So the Oilers, I know they don't have last change, but they've got some lines that can produce, and they should be able to against that decor.
Oh man, yeah, you'd think you got to take advantage of Larson 5-on-5. There's no doubt about it at all. I think
the Tyler Pitlicks and the guys on the fourth line that are going to get that third pairing, those are the guys that really need to take advantage when they can. If Draisaitl ends up out there against them now and then, or Maroon, Larson is a small player and he can be bodied off of pucks. Sabisa isn't as small, but he's not the fleetest of foot. So that's a third pairing that those guys, the other depth players, should be able to take advantage of. And if they can, and there's some of that supplementary scoring, and I even certainly like their number one line up against any of those defensemen.
Yeah, I would. You got to take advantage of it. And you look at the Draisaitl line when you got a third pair. They're the one that's likely going to get them a lot, and see if Leon Draisaitl. What do you think of Draisaitl's play lately?
I think Leon's been okay. He's looking to make plays, which Leon is always doing. He likes to distribute the puck. I like the fact that he's not as often deferring to his backhand all the time. He's making the obvious play on his forehand.
I just like the way that line, when the notion hits them, they can really get aggressive in the offensive zone and start a cycle working. You can really see what Peter Chiarelli was talking about when in his availability last year, mid-season, he said he really felt they needed to get more done off the cycle. And you see that he's basically custom built this line with Maroon and Draisaitl and his size and strength. And then a guy like Puljujarvi, who is no small player. You really see how that can wear a team down over a stretch of a period or two, and how through the course of a season, those guys have the size and strength to play that way consistently. And that's a really valuable, like, the lines aren't all the same anymore. They have lines that they can deploy that can hurt teams in different ways. McDavid's line is obvious in straight lines with all kinds of speed from Connor, but that line, it's more about leaning on guys and cycling. And Leon has taken to that. You can see the way Leon likes to have guys on him. Like he sort of welcomes the contact and handles the puck well throughout it. I think he's really adjusting his game nicely to play that style that they feel is important.
Ryan Rashog from TSN joins us. And Shogar, as we are speaking, the Eskimos, Hamilton wins the kickoff, elects to receive, and then marches down the field, and Gable just punches it in. So it is a 6-0 Pen in the Convert 4 minutes into that game. So not the ideal start for the Eskimos.
Nice. Not showing up on time again, hey?
No, a huge game for this team, because they have been very much win a few, lose a few, and you don't want to go into the playoffs on a lose a few stretch. Rarely does it pan out. So we'll see how they bounce back. Not a great opening drive for the defense of the Eskimos with Kolaros under center for Hamilton. Now, did you happen to see the Boychuk Crosby incident last night?
No, I didn't.
Oh, okay.
I did not. What went down?
Well, not Crosby hit him behind the net, and Boychuk felt that if it was the other way around, he'd be getting fined and suspended. I actually didn't think it, and I think Johnny's a hard-nosed player.
Oh, I love Johnny Boychuk.
Yeah, game. I didn't think it was a physical play by Crosby? Yeah, but I don't think it was a headshot, right? And I think I was kind of surprised because I saw the quote, and I was like, wow, I got to go find this. And then I went and saw it, and I was like, oh, that's the hit? I didn't think
that was. Didn't look like it was a big deal.
No,
I'm just
no.
trying to call it up while we're talking here. That's the thing, though, right? You know, like, guys will always say that the league will favor the stars, right? Like, what's it going to take to suspend Sidney Crosby, and would somebody else get suspended or penalized for the exact same type of hit, right? I don't know the answer, but it's, you can definitely see it out there. You can definitely see some of the more veteran star players getting some preferential treatment. I mean, there's no question. And it's hard to even blame refs, because those guys, they deal with them so much and they're out there so much. But it doesn't surprise me that you know, there's a hit that maybe Boychuk felt should have been penalized, or that it would have been the other way if it were flipped around. But I don't know. I don't find Sid to be a very dirty player.
No. What do you make of, speaking of veterans, a guy who's 30 years of age, Shogar, and I don't think he ever gets the benefit out, and maybe he's never earned it, but Benoit Pouliot sure never has that go in his favor, does he?
No, there were a couple of calls the other night. Like, I mean, you can't close your hand on the puck, and people know that. Players know that. So, I mean, that one's one thing. But yeah, the call on Ovechkin, to me, that was more of a makeup call, because I think they probably realized they botched one on the Klefbom that had happened like 5 seconds before, and the Oilers had one coming. But it was unfortunate for Pouliot that it ended up being him, because I just looked at that hit, by the way. It wasn't a big deal. Sid just kind of leaned his shoulder into him, eh?
Yeah, exactly. I didn't think it was that much at all. I think it was maybe more so the result that ended up with a goal, right? That maybe annoyed him at that time.
Pouliot's cross check.
Buddy, that was not a penalty. I thought, like, Pouliot, I know he's and I said it right there. I sitting beside you, said, hey, he's taken some penalties that make you scratch your head, but that was not one. I thought that was a really soft call.
Yeah, you're going to have reputation. You're going to get reputation calls. And Pouliot obviously has been made the headlines. And so, yeah, I didn't like that one very much. I didn't think it was a very good call. It was unfortunate for him, because of all guys who didn't need that to happen. But if there was ever a night for him to bang in two goals, it was on the night where he took two more penalties, that's for sure.
Yeah, no, that's the night when you have two penalties. And you know, closing your hand on the puck is, is not one that your coach, I think, is ever going to be really annoyed by, because it's something that happens once in, you know, probably three seasons for most guys, right? So not the, not a big deal. Now, quickly to the Oilers and the weekend, Vancouver, Ottawa, they don't have Craig Anderson. They're playing in Calgary tonight. So travel fatigue, you know, basically the same, Edmonton and Ottawa. I guess Ottawa technically a little bit closer flying in from Calgary. But are the Oilers sweeping this weekend and ending the month of October 8-1?
Oh, man. I don't know, man. It's so strange to make that prediction. It just feels so unnatural to make that prediction that, heck yeah, the Oilers are sweeping the weekend and they're going to go 8-1 in their first nine. I mean, that just, it just is not natural for a media guy that's been covering this team. Now, with that said, they should be able to win both of those games. No question, they should be able to, based on the way they've played this year, the improvements they've made, where those other teams are at. So I guess I'll say yes. It didn't feel right, but I'm going to say yeah, that they've taken their kick in the behind already, and that they're a team that's going to take care of business against two teams they know they should beat.
It would be strange. Like, I expected the Eskimo, the Oilers to have a good start. I thought they'd be like 6-2-1, but man, 8-1. And in the fashion that they've played, this has been a quicker turnaround than I expected. And I picked them to make the playoffs, by the way. I thought they'd be able to finish with 91 points. And there's still a long way to go, of course. They're going to have some inevitable dips in the season, but 8-1 is still 8-1. I don't care what you say.
Well, I gotta get there. I mean, we'll see what happens here. But I mean, I didn't think that the Oilers would be in the playoff picture, and who knows? They may not be. But the main reason for me was I just didn't feel that the blue line was going to be a playoff caliber blue line in the conference. But I also did not expect Chris Russell to be their best defenseman at $3 million. So he has really opened my eyes a lot to the value in his game. He's been better than I expected him to be, and it just goes to show you how much a player or two can make a huge difference. The Oilers have been, it seemed like they've been miles and miles away for some time, but a lot of people also felt that while the results are a mile away, that they're actually not that far from turning the corner as a group. If they could be a little better balanced and sort a few things out, that they might be able to turn the corner sooner rather than later. And so we see a little bit of different level of depth on the blue line. They sacrifice a little offense up front to do that, the Connor McDavid influence, and you had a winner like Lucic, and boy, Cam Talbot's playing fantastic. That adds up to massive improvement in a pretty short amount of time.
Sugar, have yourself a good weekend. We will chat with you on Monday, and Oilers Nation could be having the best Halloween they have had in a long, long time.
Yeah, well, I think either way. No, I mean, they could drop two in a row. I think they'll still be having the best Halloween they've had in a long, long time. But, enjoy the weekend. Enjoy watching it. And we'll break it all down on Monday.
And we expect to see pictures of your Timberlake costume on Monday night, so we look forward to that.
All right, sounds good, man. Just my regular wardrobe.
That's true. That's very true, actually. I appreciate it. Ryan Rashog from TSN.